Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is reporting on the homepage of federalnewsradio.com that the Department of Veterans Affairs putting 45 information technology projects on hold, at least temporarily, while it figures out how to get them back on track. VA Secretary Eric Shinseki announcing that today. And my timing is fortuitous because already scheduled quite a few days ago to be my guest today to join me to talk to you, Karen, is the Chief Information Officer at the Department of Veterans Affairs, Roger Baker. Roger, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Karen, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I think this is the first time we've actually talked since you've been confirmed, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And the same for me. This is the first time you've been on the show since you've been at VA. Last time you were here was for one of my CIO panels when you were in the private sector, so congratulations. You're in a bit of a spot, though, I think, because you've gotten really all the tools that you asked for in your confirmation hearing to do what you needed to do, haven't you?
Pretty much, yeah. It's, you know, back when I was in government before, there were a number of things that we talked about, at least I talked about, you know, I thought were important. As Karen knows, I thought CIO should be political, and I certainly have that, you know, support from a secretary, clearly got that, consolidated IT budget. You know, I'm afraid that we're kind of removing any excuses I might have for not succeeding.
And so as the pressure comes on, I guess, this announcement made today, talk about the basis for evaluating all these projects and coming up with this list of 45.
Well, we looked at over 300 ongoing IT projects at VA and looked at a number of attributes of the projects and kind of laid them all out in a spreadsheet and settled on two things, really. One was that we needed a substantial change in the way we did IT development projects. You could just see from the spreadsheet that we had real problems. And the second thing was that there were 45 projects that you could put in what I would call the first band of projects that needed to be addressed right away. And these projects are either more than a year behind schedule or more than 50% over budget, and frankly, a lot of them are both. And so we just decided that we would make them the first set of projects that we would temporarily halt and change the way they're doing business, kind of along the saying that's attributed to Albert Einstein, which is the definition of insanity is expecting different results from the same process.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to change things and try and bring them back on track. We still have a requirement for the things those projects are trying to accomplish. You know, we need pharmacy reengineering. We need a new scheduling program inside of the VISTA system. But we have to have IT projects that can deliver those capabilities. We can't go on like the scheduling program did for years and years and then never deliver.
So, Roger, how was this received internally within VA? I guess I'm very familiar so much to speak about how the culture of VA works, and it seems to me that the stars are aligned. So how did you deliver this news out to the different customer base that you were going to do? Because obviously they're frustrated if they're more than a year behind.
Right. And actually, the best part about this is that implementation of this was a unanimous decision by the VA executive management. It wasn't me and the secretary cooking something up. We ran this by probably 75 to 80 senior executives and appointees inside of the department in a series of meetings, and in every one of them the answer was, yes, this is what we need to do. So at the executive level, the acceptance was very, very good. What I'm finding is that, you know, we were very worried about making this announcement to the project managers and having them take the view of, in effect, we were blaming them for where these things are. So we've been a little bit careful in making sure we communicated accurately with them about what we think the issues are with these projects. And it's not that they don't have good project managers. It's they don't have the resources. They don't have, in some cases, the support. And in some cases, they haven't had the support for making the hard decisions necessary relative to which resources go where, which projects will be high priority and therefore complete, and which projects are not sufficient priority and we shouldn't even be investing in. And so I've gotten, from my view, we've gotten a surprisingly positive response from the project managers. Their fundamental response, I could tell you, is thank you. You know, looking forward to changing the way this project is going and getting your full support for helping it be successful. So I'm very, very pleased with it.
So one of the things, Roger, though, is because of the reorganization that happened within VA,
yep.
Do the project managers, are they all part of your staff now?
Yes. Yeah, they all report to me.
So they're probably very relieved on one level that you've recognized the fact that this is a resource issue and that these projects need to maybe take a break and quit throwing good money after bad and saying, okay, we're not meeting the objective here. So they're probably very excited that you're taking this look project by project.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing that we've told the project managers for these first 45 projects is that they're going to help define the way that the program management accountability system, or PMAS as we've termed it, goes forward. You know, what does it take for a project to restart inside of VA? Because eventually we're going to do this with all 300 of the projects inside of VA. We're moving to this system across the board. It's not just for these first 45. They're going to have an opportunity to really help us define what this means.
Roger Baker is the Chief Information Officer at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I want to ask you when we come back, Roger, about PMAS, the Program Management Accountability System, how it works and so on. We'll do that when we return to In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Here's Tim Grantz of NIST from the panel discussion on cloud computing brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
I am concerned that we over-specify too soon. We're going to need to do, we have to find that really sweet spot between articulating our requirements and needs, but not over-specifying them because that can inhibit innovation. And we're a little premature and early at that. So it's important we speak with clarity, but not extreme specificity. We want
to. To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
With the recent decision by the federal government to move to a cloud computing environment, the role of verifying the identity of an authorized user and defining their rights once inside the cloud presents a series of opportunities as well as challenges. What steps are being taken to validate users' credentials, to authenticate their identity at critical junctures, and to authorize these people to go to the places where they're sanctioned to go? Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at BoozAllen.com. Booz Allen, solutions that endure. The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
You've got no excuse for not having domain name security on your agency's websites. Here's Doug Montgomery of the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Most major DNS server and resolver implementations now support DNSSEC. Domain name service equipment and implementations, in a way, is kind of a small community. There's a few major players. All those platforms support DNSSEC.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek with a peek at what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. There's been some controversy around the $9.5 million contract for recovery.gov. Today we'll hear from GSA, which handled that procurement, and the Senior Executive Service is looking for your insights. We'll tell you more. And yesterday we told you about NIH working with Wikipedia. Today we'll hear from the team from Wikimedia. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabek and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is John Gilroy, host of Federal Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Join me every Tuesday morning at 11 as I look at the world of high technology in the federal government. On Federal Tech Talk, I speak the language of federal CISOs, CIOs, and CTOs and get into the specifics for federal IT systems integrators. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests are two, actually, in this part of the hour. In studio, I'm fortunate to be joined by former administrator for eGov at OMB, Karen Evans, and on the phone, Roger Baker, the chief information officer at the Department of Veterans Affairs. We've been talking, Roger, about the IT projects that you're putting on hold. 45 projects right off the bat sounds pretty significant, but when you kind of multiply it out, that's only about 15% of the projects that you're working on. That doesn't sound quite as bad. Money-wise, how significant are these projects in the scheme of your overall IT budget?
Well, let's see. These projects are about $200 million of spend for 2009. So they're not insignificant. Some of them, clearly, I mean, there's a big portfolio. Some of them are big. Some of them are small. But it's not an insignificant start. If you look at what we're spending on development, it's about 25% of our development budget at this point. So, you know, a reasonable start. There was, you know, at one point it crossed people's mind to say, why don't we just do this for every project we got? And I think we decided that would be a little bit more than we could handle.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with, you know, kind of invoke the three bears rule. Not too little, not too big, just right number of projects, you know, big enough to say we're serious, small enough to hopefully be able to handle and get them all going again here in the next few months.
I ask that question, though, because inevitably somebody looks at the front page of the paper and sees the Veterans Affairs Department has 45 projects that are on hold because X, Y, and Z reasons, and automatically assumes that the whole thing's fouled up. And so I think it's fair to call attention to the fact that it is the 15% of your projects off track means 85% of them are doing okay at least or better.
Yeah, I mean, this clearly is these are the 45 that we felt needed the most change, and where the pause would be most beneficial. And so you're absolutely right. There are almost daily deliveries of new functionality inside the Department of Veterans Affairs for the different applications. There are a lot of very good things going on, but frankly, I mean, it's been very public. We've had some significant failures at Veterans Affairs with projects like Core FLS, and replacement scheduling, and we very clearly will not allow something like that to occur again inside the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Now, the way you're measuring them is with a tool that you mentioned in the first segment called Program Management Accountability System, or PMAS. How does it work, and where did it come from?
Well, two key pieces to the way it works. The first part is that we're moving everything to incremental development, and we're telling each of the projects they must set forth a plan where they will deliver new functionality to their customer at least every 6 months. And when I say customer, that's an internal customer, you know, someone in the health or the benefits side of the business. And the customer will be the determinant of whether or not that milestone was successfully met. If you miss three of those customer delivery milestones, we halt the project and replan it, replace some of the staff. We'll look at whether or not we need a different project manager. We will revisit or recompete the contracts on the project, and in essence, renovate the project to set it on a different path if it's not being successful. The goal is not to stop projects. The goal is twofold. One is to make certain that before we allow a project to start, it's got what it needs to succeed, and that as it goes along, the customer, the program staff, and the vendors are all in the same boat focused on making those milestones. One of the reasons we're being very public about the way PMAS works and briefing the Hill and lots of other folks is that when the first program comes in and it's hit its third milestone miss, it's going to have to stop. There won't be any choice at that point. And there'll be plenty of reasons not to, but we have to make certain that, that those are real, deadlines. They're real milestones that had to be made. Where it came from, I think a lot of this came from, the IAC Transition Study Group and discussions that we had as a group over the last year with folks like Dan Chinnock and Mark Foreman and, you know, people that Karen and I both know very well that were real contributors to a way of thinking about what we needed to do in IT management inside the federal government. And, you know, this pretty much comes out of some of the discussions that we had with those folks.
So, Roger, one of the things, because you have a very active oversight group on the Hill.
Yes.
Yes. And so in looking at this, the list of the 45 projects, and then you look at the IT dashboard that's been released.
Right.
One of the things that people are going to start looking at is they're going to try to, and so I think maybe if you could explain this a little bit to the listeners about this, they're going to try to do like a one-for-one match about the 45 projects that you have, and then looking at your 41 investments that are over here. And you can't really do that.
No, and each of these projects falls under one of those, but each of those is made up of multiple projects. So, for example, in the area of VISTA, the electronic health record system, there may be, you know, 5 to 10 ongoing projects in development for that system and that 300, if you will, from an investment standpoint. Maybe one or two of the projects is on the list of the ones that needs to be halted and revised at this point. So, you know, there's certainly not a one-to-one correlation. We've been having that discussion with the folks at OMB about how to lay those out and how it maps up. When you look at the dashboard, there are two things to look at really on the dashboard. One is the technical rating, the rating that OMB has from the information put forward, and then there is the CIO's rating.
Right.
And I think if you note, the CIO rating probably has a closer matchup with the, you know, these projects and the particular rating. In other words, if we've got several projects in an area that are on this list, you'll probably find that rated red on the IT dashboard in the CIO area.
So one of the things that I think the Hill, if you looked at some of the draft legislation that was coming out about the IT oversight investments,
yep,
type of things, that if you took these 45 projects and you actually had links off of the investment so that they could see, you know, 5 of these projects hook up to VISTA and 10 of these projects hook up to the VA IT infrastructure 300. And then my question would be, would you then make the PMAS data available publicly too so that people could say, oh gosh, here, this one is red, but oh, this is what VA has. They have a corrective action plan in place. Here's the oversight. Would you make that data public too?
I'm not sure how far down on, so the first answer is yes. One of the things that I have committed to Vivek that we will do is we will have a one-page project overview for each of these that then ties to the dashboard. So that, for example, for each of the investments, you will see the projects that underlie it, and you'll get a one-page overview of where it stands on things like, you know, cost and schedule and the various components. And we'll be heavily stoplight-oriented in that area. I'm not sure how far down into the project details will go, because there are things in there that will be acquisition sensitive or things that for some reason we should not be making public. And what I don't want to do is stifle the information coming forward because people are concerned about what then is going to get displayed publicly. So I think what I want to do is make it clear that every project will have a public display of information. But then there's also, for internal work, probably addendums to that identify, you know, things like, gee, we're having problems with this contract or, you know, these kind of resource issues or things that probably are better done internal rather than external.